The fiddle music of the Shetland Islands, there is a thriving music scene. There are music festivals as well. Jessie Williamson lives in the main town of Lerwick. She's a Kiwi born in Scotland who came to New Zealand as a girl, grew up in Auckland's Newland, went to Kelston Girls High, and lived on Waiheke Island for a while, so she's used to being surrounded by water. Jessie's husband, Davey, is a local. He was born on another island. There are around 23,000 people in Shetland, and roughly a third of them live in the town of Lerwick. Let's talk to Jessie. Jessie, Nuden or Ai, I've seen both of those. How do you greet someone in Shetland?
Well, I think the Shetland people definitely go Nuden. Ai would be the one that's the most used, I feel. Yeah.
Ai is a good one. So Nuden, what? Nuden means now then?
Now then, yeah. Just Nuden. And you, some of the older generation, lovely, lovely way of greeting, they go, oh, Nuden, is that you? And you think, oh, wow, isn't that fabulous?
That'll be part of the charm. There's a lot of charm in Shetland. Now, you've been part of Scotland for half a millennium, but there are no haggis, kilts and bagpipes, really, are there?
No. In fact, Prince Charles came up here one time. I think he came up to open our beautiful museum, and he's the Duke of Rothesay down in Scotland, and he wore his kilt up here, and it was a little bit of a faux pas because, you know, the Shetland people don't class themselves as Scottish. They're more geared towards Scandinavian. So the Norwegian people come here and they can understand the Shetland dialect quite easily, and the Shetland people can understand the Norwegians. But, I mean, we've got lots of people there, you know, there's Scots, there's English, there's Irish, there's all kinds, and there's Syrians and Eastern Europeans. You know, it's a very cosmopolitan little place.
I know you're closer to Scotland than Norway, but when you look on a map, it looks like you're almost halfway. You're way out in the North Atlantic, aren't you?
We are, definitely, yes. I think we're about 200 miles from Scotland, Aberdeen, and around about the same from Bergen in Norway.
It's been famously treeless, hasn't it, for a long time? But that's changing big time, I was reading. You're planting more trees on Shetland.
Yes, and when you look out now, lots of gardens have quite a lot of trees in them. I mean, I even have quite a number of trees in my garden, and it's mostly gardens. And there is a place they call the Kirgord Forest. And it was quite funny, when I first came here and we had a New Zealand chef that I knew, and somebody said to her, we said, oh, we missed the trees. And they said, oh, you'll have to go and visit the forest. And of course, we're used to New Zealand forests, and we got in the car and we drove to where they told us. And of course, it's, I don't know, maybe 700 trees. we just thought it was quite funny, little forest, but yeah.
A little forest. It'll be lovely when it's fully treed again. In your head, you're Kiwi still?
Yes. I definitely relate more to the Kiwi. Definitely. And we have quite a lot of Kiwis up here, actually. There's over 30 Kiwis and a few Australians. We have an Anzac commemoration every year. We go to the cenotaph and we put up the Australian flag and the New Zealand flag, and we do all the poems and the anthems and readings, and make it quite a special thing. It's the most northerly Anzac commemoration.
Jessie, what do all the Kiwis there do? Not each one individually, but what sort of things do they do?
Well, we have one funeral director up here in Shetland, and it's a lady called Anne Gowdy, Gowdy's funeral director, and she comes from Sumner in Christchurch. Another lady from Wellington has her own hairdressing salon. The occupational therapist. There's three Kiwis in the occupational therapist department. They just do all manner of things. So the Kiwis are very good at just doing, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And it'd be quite comforting. I know you're among friends in a very friendly population, but it'd be quite comforting all the same to have Kiwis around, probably.
Well, yes, it is. And, I mean, they do, you know, there's a few of them that play in the local rugby team, and And we have gatherings. We're always trying to get together and have barbecues. And we've got a guy from Tasmania called Dave who has a outpost, he calls it, in a place called Burra, and he has wallabies and emus and a couple of possums, and he looks after people with special needs and disabilities. That's his job. And he takes them out to his place and they feed the animals, and he puts on barbecues and festivals, and it's just an amazing group of people that just love to enjoy life.
He sounds lovely. They'd be the coldest wallabies in the world, wouldn't they, I suppose?
I think so. But, you know, they're breeding. Like, he's had a couple of joeys out of them.
And, oh, they do.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Just, you know, it's just quite amazing. And he's got two Cooney Cooney pigs.
Oh,
and I think they're the biggest Cooney Cooney pigs I've ever seen.
It's been, Jesse, it's been 20 years, but more, there for you now. So how did you meet Davey?
Well, I came to Shetland just by accident. I had no intention of coming here. When I arrived, I answered an ad for a general worker in a hotel, and I thought, oh, that sounds like something that would be quite interesting. And so my very first night here, and I just arrived off the boat that morning, my very first night, the manager of the hotel promised that I would not need to work that night. And then they got so busy, he called me in, and I met this waitress called Carol. And as soon as she met me, she said, I have someone I want you to meet. And I went, well, mate, don't bother, because I'm traveling. So I haven't got time for things like that. But that's not how it worked out. So she engineered a meeting, and as they say, the rest is history. So here I am, married to a man who was born in the island of Yell, and one of seven siblings, and his mum's still around at the age of 92. And yeah, they're just a marvellous family to be a part of. And you know, we've been back to New Zealand a few times. Davey got a baptism of fire in 2002 when we went home to my niece's wedding. And my family love him, and lovely.
It sounds lovely, and Davey sounds like a fine man. What does he do now, Davey?
Well, prior to COVID, Davey worked as a skipper of a workboat. So they did things like dredging harbours, replacing moorings on the lifeboat moorings, and doing pipelines, putting out pipelines. And the most recent thing he did before the COVID stopped everything was he built piers for the new ferries in Belfast. They had new, bigger ferries coming into Belfast, so he manoeuvred the jack-up barges that worked on those piers. And then he worked away for 4 weeks, and he would come home for two. So he was home for his 2 weeks in March, and then lockdown happened and everything stopped, so he hasn't been back. We don't know when that's all going to start again.
I'll ask you about the COVID, but tell us about your home, your house. Where do you live?
Well, we live right on the edge of a hill called the Stainy Hill, and it overlooks the town of Lerwick, where it's a double-story house, and I'm standing in the top story at the moment because that's where our kitchen is. And it looks out over the town of Lerwick down into the island of Brise and the south mouth of the harbour. And then you turn around and look to the north of the harbour where you see the island of Wolsey, which was once one of the wealthiest island communities in Europe, because it has all the big boats of the pelagic fishermen that fish for mackerel and haddocks. I just love it when people come here and they walk up the stairs and they just can't believe this amazing view that we have.
Yeah, I'm picturing it in my mind as you speak. So Lerwick is the big smoke, isn't it?
It is the big smoke, all 7,500 of us, yes.
I found a few houses for sale, which I assume are fairly near you, all between about 200k and 400k in New Zealand dollars, and five bedrooms in Brise, which you've mentioned, with harbour views. It looks brand new, pretty much, £195,000. So housing's quite affordable.
It is. Brise would be probably one of the more reasonable costing places because of the fact that it's a ferry that takes you rely on the ferry to get there.
Ah.
And although the ferry only takes 5 minutes, in the wintertime, for instance, is sometimes the ferries don't run because the winds are too strong. So then you're either stuck over this side or stuck over that side. We're finding that there's lots of people, during the COVID thing, lots of people decided they wanted to go to lovely island communities. So you're getting people down coming from south who have sold their homes for an amazing amount of money. And then they come up here and they can buy, like you say, a 5-bedroom house in Bresa and have lots of change.
Gotcha. Yeah, on a kind of, you know, Shetland scale, it's similar to what's happening in New Zealand, really, isn't it? It's and probably all over the place. In this house, I saw doors with glass in the middle of them, like elongated, in the shape of elongated teardrops. Are see-through doors a thing in Shetland?
Probably to let in as much light as possible, because in the wintertime, Jim, we get about, 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock is our daylight hours. And so you're looking for as much light coming in as possible.
Ah, got you now. Yes, of course, I didn't think of that. So many beautiful stone buildings, Jessie.
Oh, it is just stunning. And if you had the money, you would go and get some of the old croft houses that are ruined in various places and do them up. They're just in such beautiful spots.
And lots of old ruins in stone. I mean, a lot of people have occupied Shetland through its history, and there'd be all sorts of Nordic archaeology to look at.
Oh, gosh, yes. Down on an island of Musa is one of the fully formed Pictish brochs, and they're a round tower of a building. And you can go into it, and it's got all sort of little nooks and crannies where people slept, where people kept their food, and they, I think they cooked in the middle of it. And yeah, a lot of the Viking stuff. I think someone actually just in the next town in Scalloway has just discovered some major Viking archaeological site in his back garden.
His back garden?
Yeah. I think he was wanting to put a shed up, but I think he's put paid to that because... You go find Viking relics in your back garden, you've got to kind of stop doing stuff like that.
Yeah, you do. So all mod cons in Shetland these days, though, how does life there compare with life on Waiheke?
Well, very similar, funnily enough. A lot of things have to come in by ferry or plane.
The ferry would take a bit longer.
The ferry is 12 hours, so we actually... came home on it on Monday morning, and we left because it was calling into Orkney on its way up. It left Aberdeen at 5 o'clock, called into Orkney at 11, and then berthed in Lerwick at 7:30. But yes, it's a lovely experience, actually, the ferry.
Yeah, it'd be a bit like the inter-island ferries used to be in New Zealand. You'd sleep overnight.
Yes.
Well, the other, of course, you can fly in, but I'm told the nickname for the plane is the White Knuckle Express.
Yeah, I think they're exaggerating. So, although in saying that, I have been on the plane when it's been very windy, and you do kind of breathe quite deeply and hold your breath. But the pilots are very experienced. Probably the only thing that would ever stop them landing would be thick fog.
Jessie Williamson is calling home from Shetland. It'd be a bit colder, and well, it's certainly windier than New Zealand by and large, isn't it?
I think so. Down in the South Island, though, you'd get it pretty cold down there. Davy's three boys actually went over and lived in Queenstown for a while, and we went to visit. And around about 9 o'clock at night, you're getting quite cold.
I was going to say it never gets as cold as areas in central Otago in winter, because I was looking up your stats. And in summer, am I right, have you experienced this? I saw a record temperature once of 27 degrees. Occasionally it can get right up there, and lovely and warm in the Shetlands.
Well, yes. Oh, Jim, you'll be in trouble if you call it the Shetlands.
Sorry, take it back.
Yeah. It does get up into the 20s, and not often. It's just too hot. The best sort of temperature is around 16 to 18 degrees, and that's quite lovely.
It's a safe place to live. I saw a story in the Shetland Times about antisocial behaviour in Lerwick that basically involved a group of teens leaving beer bottles and empty packets of crisps behind on a beach, which is not so bad in the grand scheme of things, Jesse.
Oh, and it happens rarely. We are a very safe community. I think the young folk are probably just fed up. You know, they've had a pretty rough time of it, not being able to go to school and college. And in fact, a lot of the young folk do lots of volunteer work. We're very fortunate up here in Shetland.
Oh, you seem to have a wonderful population. 2/3 of Shetland adults fully vaccinated, which is pretty good progress. You had a lot of COVID, I mean, for your population size early on, a very high rate, but then all of a sudden you geared up and you were socially equipped to handle it well and deal to it, weren't you?
Indeed, yeah.
So you had to cancel your, now have I got this pronunciation right? Right, Up Haliar fire festivals. What are they?
Yes.
What are they?
Up Haliar. Well, the main one is Lerwick, and it's a 24-hour party. So sometimes there's nearly 1,000 of them who light up these torches and they parade around some of the streets of Lerwick. And then they've spent the year building a Viking galley, which is really quite magnificent. And they paint it and they spend a lot of time doing this, and then they throw their burning torches into this galley and burn it to ashes.
Wow.
And it's greeting and saying goodbye to the winter and greeting in the lightning days. And you swear that the next night it stays lighter for longer. Just, you know, you swear it does. Okay, the people come from all over the world.
So you burn the Viking galley, longship, boat, whatever it is, and as if it's a Viking funeral, because we've seen these,
yes,
on TV, haven't we, with the boat floating off, burning into the water. So it's the end of winter and winter's floating away.
Yes.
Jesse Williamson calling home from Shetland. There was a lot of talk about locking down like New Zealand, but you couldn't do that, could you? Because Shetland would not have survived economically, actually. You may be isolated, but you're very much part of the modern world. You've got a very high per capita GDP. Is that mm-hmm. mostly North Sea oil?
Well, yeah, North Sea oil and fishing.
Yep. Yeah, that food, you eat so well. I mean, I'm not really a foodie, but I saw photos of online of pub meals, and I thought, I want to be there. The bread and the seafood and the whole array, it was just splendid looking.
Mm, we've had a couple of kind of well-known chefs have come up, and they just can't believe how amazing the seafood is up here.
You work at Shetland College, don't you? What do you do?
I work in the student records office as the admissions person, so I deal with all the applications that come in for the courses.
Do the young people tend to leave the islands, or do they tend to stay?
It's a bit of both. But a lot of young people, of course, want to go and see what it's like down in Glasgow and Edinburgh and Aberdeen and try it out. But by the same token, there's a lot of young people want to stay. And there's a lot of health jobs up here. So you find our health and care department is one of the largest ones in the college for early education and childcare courses and caring courses for older people. And then when young people do go away, the Shetland Islands Council have quite a lot of postgraduate placements to encourage young people to come back and work here if they've been away to university.
It seems a very well-run place, and they can afford to spend on amenities and everything where you are. In an email, you said you don't have everything, though. You have a constant craving for kumara.
Oh, kumara. Yeah. Kumara and yeah. It's just, we get sweet potatoes up here, of course, but there's just nothing like a Northland kumara, is there?
Very cheap in New Zealand at the moment, Jesse.
Oh, is it? Mm.
And you were an extra in series 3 of that TV drama Shetland. That TV series was, well, I haven't seen it, but it was well made. I think it was here on one of the small channels. But there'd be people all over the world who would probably come to Shetland now and want to see a few of the locations, wouldn't there?
Absolutely. There's, you know, lots of people do work as extras, and yeah, there's an awful lot of jobs come up with that series. So it's good, and it showcases Shetland quite well. Apart from all the murders, we don't have that many murders in Shetland, but it's quite good, and it was a very fun thing to do.
Congratulations. If I ever see it, I'll look out for you, actually.
Oh, do I'm on. Yes, it took all day to get me 15 seconds on the in my trendy dressing
Your
gown.
trendy dressing gown. Another thing you've learned to do, actually, and I will ask you about this in your spare time, is to build stone dikes. What brought that on?
There's so many beautiful stone dikes around Shetland, all over Shetland. And watching, we've actually got one built outside our house because my husband dug away a whole lot of the stone, but that's why it's called the Stainy Hill, because it's just all stone. So he dug away a whole lot of the stone to build a deck off our kitchen. And then what do we do with the stone? You know, we live up high, you can't carry all those stones down. So we got a gentleman in to build a stone dike, and I'm watching him, it was just so, it's very artistic. And when they stand with the stone, it's almost like they're feeling it, and then you think, where's he going to put that? And then he sort of puts it and it just fits. And I thought, I want to do that. You feel the stone and you hold the stone, and then you can see exactly where that stone needs to go. It seems to take you there. It's
Wow.
just an amazing thing to do. It is wow, Jim. It really, really is wow.
That sounds almost mystical. That's fantastic.
Oh, yes. It does, doesn't it?
So you're showing us around. Would there be Shetland ponies still?
Oh, yes. Lots of them. There's breeders. I mean, people breed the Shetland ponies. And I believe they still have Shetland pony races down in London where young, you know, children ride these ponies, and they have all the colours on like the adult jockeys do. But yeah, there's plenty of Shetland ponies. They love to eat mints. And we, the first thing I first, if you were coming, if you came here, Jim, I would take you down to Lerwick and show you around all the gorgeous old little lanes and the quaintness of Lerwick. And then we would take you up to Aishanes, which is, there's a lighthouse up there, and it's cliffs, and they're absolutely stunning. And there's marvelous walks, and there's a museum up there, and Shetland is just full of beautiful places. Unst, which is a two-ferry ride to the Top Island, it's just full of stunning, stunning views. That's where the Air Force used to be stationed at one stage, and they're starting to build a space. A place to launch rockets from up in Unst.
Wow, you're going to become a spaceport.
Well, yeah, I think so.
Shetland's about to blast
Well,
off.
Pitt Shetland's about to blast off, yes.
And you are big on what they call cake fridges in Shetland.
Oh,
What
yeah, they just.
is a cake fridge?
Well, alas, right in the middle of nowhere, she lives in this croft house, a cute little house, and she decided that she would, because it's right in the middle of nowhere, lots of tourists go there, and there was nowhere for people to stop and have a coffee or anything unless you took your own. So she started baking cakes and tray bakes and all sorts of things for this, and she put a fridge outside her house and had an honesty box. And then she has actually expanded, and she's now got a cafe, a sit-in cafe with an outdoor area and everything. It's just grown. And all of a sudden, just in the last little while, cake fridges have popped up all over the place. And you know, people, some of the people that run it just cook, just bake the cakes for a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday. And other people, you can go there all week and you can get all manner of things, cheesecake and cream cakes. And it's incredible, just honesty boxes.
What an interesting idea to have catch on. And I can imagine it would catch on in lots of places. Oh, that's clever. Okay.
It is clever, yeah. I mean, Shetland is very renowned for its cooking and baking. So if you were going on a Sunday, for instance, in the summertime, you could go to a country hall and they would have what they call Sunday teas. And so you go in and you pay a little bit of money, and then you put lovely food on your plates, cakes and quiche and sandwiches, and they come around with these big pots of tea and pour out your tea and your coffee, and it's just a very social event. And we have a motorcycle group here, and you sort of think, you know, roughy toughy motorcycle people, but they all gather down in Lerwick and then they go off to have a Sunday tea in one of the halls up in the country. It's lovely.
You know, you've got all the advantages of modern life, haven't you? And all the advantages of life the way it used to be in Shetland.
There's a little bit of both, Jim, and that's what makes it a beautiful place, because you people are holding on to the things that matter and the old ways. But by the same token, you know, the young people want to have all the modern. I mean, we have some of the most beautiful leisure centres in the UK. When the oil came in the 70s, whoever was in charge of the Shetland Islands Council signed a great deal. And so Shetland has got quite a lot of money. And one of the things that they signed for was that they would build leisure centres around Shetland. And our one here has got everything you need, the most amazing athletics track. Ah. It's got swimming pools, diving boards, squash courts, bowls courts, you name it, it's got it.
Gee, I could ask you more about Shetland all day, but you've been a great tour guide. Thank you for being with us. How do we say goodbye to you, Jesse?
Oh, cheerio.
Cheerio.
Cheerio. Just like the little sausages.
That's right. Hey, fantastic. So you are there for the duration, aren't you? But you'll keep coming back to see us?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, well, I still have family in New Zealand. And my sister lives in Melbourne too. Yeah, yeah. And I do love New Zealand. I love, there's something very similar to Shetland. Just the weather's different. The people, you know, the sense of community. It's just an amazing place in all ways to live.
Great to talk to you, and all the best for you with you and Davey and the family with the years ahead. Thank you. Cheerio, I guess I should say.
Cheerio. Thank you, Jim. It's been great.
Jesse Williamson in Shetland.